This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
On the Breakfast Grill this morning, I'm talking to Tan Sri Dato Mohamed Arif Mohamed Yusof, the former Dewan Rakyat Speaker, who was ousted from the role by the PN government in July. Tan Sri, welcome. Let's rewind a little bit to the events of the day. On July 14th, The Star reported that Parliament saw an unprecedented change with the removal of a sitting Dewan Rakyat Speaker, you, and the appointment of Dato Sri Azalina Othman as the first female Deputy Speaker. Former Election Commission Chairman Dato Azhar Art Harun was appointed your replacement with a razor-thin majority of just 111 to 109. You were quoted at the time as saying that never once in the 800-year history of the United Kingdom's House of Commons was a House Speaker removed before a parliamentary term ended. What did you mean by that?
Well, looking at it historically, we have nowhere else to look to except the United Kingdom House of Commons practice. It is true that there has not been a single instance where the sitting speaker has been ousted by the House. Mind you, historically, some speakers have been beheaded, but that's by the King. But it is not; it has not been the practice in the United Kingdom Convention for a sitting speaker to be removed. Because the tradition is, speaker is a speaker of the House. He speaks for the House, for the entire House. He's not elected, so-called, by the government merely, but he's elected by the entire House. He represents the House. He speaks for the House. That is the term, speaks for the House. There is, however, one incident in Trinidad and Tobago where the speaker was ousted by the House. But that's very exceptional. That's in Trinidad and Tobago. Outside of Trinidad and Tobago, I can't think of any other Commonwealth country where the speaker, a sitting speaker, has been ousted.
Yeah, but at the time you also said that you accepted the motion to replace you and your deputy, Nga Kor Ming, because they were adopted in accordance with common practice and Dewan Rakyat standing orders. Can you reconcile this? Because it seems strange that while you saw the removal itself as unusual, you say the process complies with the orders.
As far as the formalities are concerned, the motion was in order. As Speaker, I could only go by the book, by the standing orders and conventions and the Constitution. So where a Speaker is given a motion which is proper on its face, it's not nonsensical, it's not wayward, doesn't appear not to have made any sense, I had no choice except to accept.
So why do you feel, why do you think it was necessary that the PN government felt it appropriate to remove you as Speaker, thereby defying the convention of even the UK, where it's had eight centuries essentially of not having such a precedent?
I responded to this question a number of times when the press asked me. I said, better ask the Prime Minister or the Minister in charge of Parliament. They will know better. I can hazard a guess. I mean, they want someone probably more compliant, someone who will be more au fait with the agenda that they have. But anyway, it is their right to remove anyone or to vacate the position as it was put. So I really do not know the actual reason. Can only speculate. Maybe it has to do with my accepting the motion by Tun Dr. Mahathir YB Langkawi, a motion of no confidence against the sitting Prime Minister of the day. Maybe. I do not know, but I suppose you have to ask them.
It seems strange then to the layperson like myself, because the House Speaker, the House Speaker should represent both sides of the government, sitting and in opposition, and therefore the House Speaker should be completely neutral in his or her responsibilities. How can you have a government that ostensibly would prefer to have someone that is more lenient to its own agenda?
I take your point, and that's a very valid point, a very valid point. A speaker under our system of parliamentary government, which is basically the UK system, the Westminster system, has to act independently. As I said earlier, he is not a speaker for the government MPs. He is a speaker of the House. He is expected to be neutral and he should act neutrally. I believe I was very neutral in that sense. If you remember, the first person I booted out of the House was a member from the opposition. So I've been neutral. The last person I booted out, or the last two persons removed from the chamber was also done neutrally, one from DAP and the other from UMNO, from Barisan. So I've been very fair. I've given equal opportunity to members on both sides of the divide to debate, to ask questions, and generally, you know, to participate in parliamentary proceedings. I didn't show, I think, maybe some people may disagree, any bias towards any particular party or grouping of parties. And I believe that's how a speaker should act, true to the tradition of the Commonwealth speaker.
So the reports at the time mentioned that I raised a thin majority, but, you know, July is an age away from where we are today. Mm-hmm. And the latest Medica Centre would suggest that PN and Tan Sri Muhyiddin seem to be very much in favour, in vogue with a mass, with a majority of the electorate. Do you think that raised a thin majority should, you know, it does not reflect the popularity of Tan Sri Muhyiddin and basically Perikatan National now?
Well, I am one who will look at, you know, statistical data a bit more carefully. 69%, was it?
69, yes. 7 out of 10 Malaysians.
But yeah. I also noticed that, unless I'm wrong, apparently only 33% of the Chinese respondents give the thumbs up to the Prime Minister. And it depends how your sampling is done, basically. I mean, one cannot look merely at one particular survey. There must be a couple of surveys, more than two, actually, a number of surveys for us to come to an informed judgment.
Yeah, so I guess what is perhaps more germane to the discussion, Tan Sri, is the parliamentary structure itself, the paradigm. In your opinion, have there been any signs that your successor, Dato' Art Harun, has sought to continue the parliamentary reforms that you put in place? Reforms, you have said yourself, are necessary to preserve the system, like trying to elevate the parliament, the local parliament, to international standards.
I do not see any clear direction as yet. I have heard that they are looking into continuing with the committee system. Now, that's imperative. Whatever we have done, we meaning myself and the supporting staff, Speaker's Office and others, have done, is to implement a fully-fledged committee system. Every country in this region, don't need to go very far, even within ASEAN, countries have developed a comprehensive committee system because it is very necessary. Parliament cannot be seen merely as a glorified debating society. There are other functions. Uppermost is the ability to have oversight over ministries. And you can only do it through a committee system. I hope, I really hope, Speaker Azhar will continue with the work. Maybe we can have a view on the number of committees you need, perhaps. But you must have a select committee system, and the select committee that we introduce should now be translated into standing committees to make them permanent, so that all ministries of the government will be under parliamentary oversight.
Well, let's get granular, Tan Sri, because the federal constitution basically underlines the importance of parliament. It's much, 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 much more than a debating society for the country. Article 43 of the constitution suggests that if the prime minister does not command the majority of the house, then the house itself has the power to remove him or her, as the case may be, which is why earlier we asked the question of whether it remains a razor-thin majority, or in fact, the Medica Centre poll suggests that this is completely not true and the opposite exists.
Ultimately, the people will have to decide. And how do you do that? There will have to be, ultimately, a general election. Well, it's a matter of timing, I think, given the current scenario. But that's how things ought to work within the Constitution, within the system. Yeah, you can have a vote of no confidence. There's nothing very, you know, dramatic about it. Yeah? Even in Malaysia, there have been at least two motions of no confidence filed, not debated, of course, because there are certain procedures to overcome government business takes precedence and so on. But certainly there was a motion of confidence in 1975 that was debated and passed. So it's nothing very new.
Well, the reason also is also because if national polls are called later this year, as reported or speculated following a very generous budget 2021, snap polls called then we might not have time to see automatic voter registration, which is another set of reforms that are seeing at the election committee, the actual institution from which a speaker Harun has come from. And we might then not see the advent of 6.5 to 7 million new Malaysians, the Undi 18 movement, coming to the fore. Now, that's obviously a huge omission from a democratic perspective, because you want all Malaysians to be voting for the direction of the country going forward. What's your view on that?
My view on this, I am not really personally in favour of a snap election as of yet. There's a COVID-19 pandemic still to reckon with. Of course, you have a good point there, that the automatic voter registration is not yet in place. So I think we should wait for things to be in place before we have the next general election.
Well, nonetheless, in America, November is when the US presidential elections take place, and 83% of Americans are now eligible to vote by mail, by postal ballot. There is no reason why we can't expect the same to possibly occur in Malaysia. If, in fact, snap polls are called later this year, we might even coincide with the US elections and see all Malaysians being able to vote, including in Sabah, by mail.
I see timing is still not right. I mean, this is a personal opinion. Others may take a different view. Ultimately, it is an executive decision. The timing is purely within their discretion. But I think we should ride out the pandemic first and foremost, so that we can have a good GE15, restrictions on campaigning and so on and so forth.
Of course, and the full effect and the full form of the democratic process might then take place. Yeah. We are talking this morning to Tan Sri Dato Muhammad Arif Muhammad Yusof, the former Dewan Rakyat Speaker, who was in fact ousted from the role by the Perikatan government in July. We'll come back after this and get further and deeper into the parliamentary reforms that we're attempting in Malaysia. BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
On the grill this morning, we are talking to Tan Sri Dato Muhammad Arif Muhammad Yusof, the former Dewan Rakyat Speaker, ousted from the role by the PEN government in July. Now, getting further into the parliamentary reforms, the legislative function is another key role for Parliament. According to Article 150 of the Federal Constitution, the executive dominates lawmaking, and Parliament, however, unfortunately, in the past has tended to rubber stamp most bills, 80% in fact, before GE14, were passed without even a comma or full stop being altered. So obviously people get the impression that Parliament is there to legitimate, not legislate. Do you get the sense that now with PN and in fact your removal, does that accentuate this concern that Parliament does not play the full role?
Yeah, in a way, yes. I think respect must be given to the institution as a premier institution. We're not looking at Parliament merely as another institution of government. If you look at the constitutional structure, Parliament is a premier institution. That is why our system is parliamentary democracy. It's not democracy per se, but parliamentary democracy. Parliament is supposed to be the jewel in the crown of parliamentary democracy. So it is not merely somewhere that you go to debate, to shout, to insult, or whatever, but it must be a place where policies of the government and legislation by the government are properly debated and passed by representatives of the people. Not just yang berhormat, but yang berkhidmat.
Exactly.
They have to serve the people. And how do they do that? How must they do that? There has to be good debates, good choices offered, and good decisions on rather a non-partisan basis. There are many laws which have to be passed on a non-partisan basis.
Article 43, subsection 3 of the Federal Constitution also suggests that Parliament is the overarching body to ensure accountability of the cabinet to the people. And you're right in pointing out that today it's too much of Yang Berhormat and too little of Yang Berkhidmat. Do you agree?
Yes. In fact, may I just say, the weakness is reflected in the quality of the debates, the quality of the questions, the quality of the interjections by the members of parliament. Sometimes it reaches the level of being a shocking state of affairs to most Malaysians. All these have to change if you want to attain the level of parliamentary proceedings of some standard. We're working towards achieving an international standard. That's why many of the reforms were put in place. That's why I said earlier in response to your question, I hope the current speaker and the government will continue with the reform. You can change here and there where you feel change is needed, but the thrust of the reform must be continued. Not only parliamentary committees, but things like giving autonomy to parliament, the parliamentary services bill that is often talked about, we had drafted actually, a parliamentary commission bill that was supposed to have been introduced in March or thereafter, had Pakatan Harapan continued to be the government. It was drafted. So it's up to the current administration to now continue with this idea. I am very happy to note that the Dewan Negara Speaker two days ago, mentioned this Parliamentary Services Bill as something which is required by our system. It's a good thing to have so that Parliament becomes independent. And with independent, there is autonomy. With autonomy, there's financial autonomy, administrative autonomy, and respect being duly accorded to Parliament as a premier institution of government.
I'm talking this morning to Tan Sri Dato' Mohamed Arif Mohamed Yusof, the former Dewan Rakyat Speaker. Some of the proposals of the Election Commission included a discussion on the delineation of electoral boundaries, constituency lines, that they require the consent of the absolute majority of the members of the House of Representatives, the Dewan. That obviously is highly germane to the discussion as we enter national polls, either the end of this year or into next year. Do you now not see that reform not taking place, expediting the current status quo?
As I said earlier, I don't see any clear direction as of now. But what I want to say is part of the reform that we introduced was to have a select committee specifically on electoral reform. And if you have such a committee, the committee will be looking at all aspects of electoral reform, including delineation of constituencies. Such matters should be brought before Parliament, debated properly, and not as before. I hope it doesn't continue presently. It was really the Prime Minister calling the shots. The procedures are there, but effective oversight was more or less non-existent. We made a show of it. Of course, you have hearings and what have you, but at the end of the day, what happens? Whatever the government wants, the government gets. We can't have this sort of system.
Tan Sri, we are used to seeing you in your full regalia. You know, obviously now, what is it, 6 weeks since your removal?
Yeah.
You're now amongst us again, one of the people. Here we are, and you're dressed in civvies, yeah? Which is highly unusual for someone who's seen you photographed so many times in your house garb. Speaking as an ordinary Malaysian, yeah, and just, basically a couple of weeks after, in fact, a few days after Merdeka Day, what is your sense of the country's direction now?
I'm very worried. As an ordinary Malaysian, I am very worried. I don't think the country is heading in the proper direction. Right, of course, is a very neutral word. Yeah? I like to think in terms of a proper direction. Yeah? What is proper for Malaysia is to have a system, a political system, and politics generally, that is multiracial, that is not ethno and religious centric, not regional centric. We should be thinking in terms of Malaysians, in the larger sense of the word. We should be thinking in terms of democracy, human rights, economic rights. That is very important. People tend to neglect this. Overridden by ethnocentric and regionalistic considerations. We should be talking about economic rights, social rights, educational rights, things that matter to individuals, to you and I, to future generation of Malaysians, and so on and so forth. So I saw it coming from where I sat in the House. The debates were taking a turn for the worse. Racist statements and extreme religious statements were being said and debated, shouts and in loud interjections.
Profanities
insults.
As well, I think, as
yeah.
well.
Sorry?
Yeah. Profanities as well.
Oh, yes, we had a few examples
always,
of profanities.
Yeah.
I mean, how can we accept that if we call ourselves an example to ASEAN or to the region or the world? We should be ashamed of ourselves. those who shouted profanities in the house should be ashamed of themselves.
Or possibly even ejected. I mean, Tansri, I couldn't help but overhear you telling the producer that you are actually driven to these studios by your son because of traffic, which then reminded me to ask you about Muda Malaysia. Muda Malaysia, of course, said to be a movement right now, maybe one day a political party, said to represent the young and the next generation of people. They want to be a party that doesn't get drawn along racial or religious lines, more one which is driven by issues and germane issues for people of the day. What do you think of this party? What do you think of these new movements?
I think it's a splendid idea, an idea whose time has come. We look at world trends. The young are becoming very important in determining the politics of countries. I don't subscribe to the idea that you the young do not have the experience. Nor the wisdom. A lot of the old don't have the wisdom. They have the profanities, but they don't have necessarily the wisdom. Sure, I mean, we cannot downplay the role of the elderly statesmen. They will still be around. But you cannot also ignore the views of the younger members of society. I think the younger members of society are a lot smarter nowadays.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, they are tech-savvy. They know the stuff. They're professionals. They are even gig workers are educated. You know, so people are more educated. They have ideas to offer. Why not listen to them? And if you can have a political platform, it will be good for the country. So I don't subscribe to the idea. So you see some elder statesmen now coming up saying that they're bound to fail. Well, I don't think they're bound to fail. They are going to succeed. We don't need a parliament full of young MPs. I mean, that's not what we want. But there must be a good representation of young MPs. We're already moving in that direction. You know? We had quite a fair share of young MPs, even now. And you can see the quality of the debates among the young MPs, certainly much better than the elder ones, the ones who have been doing, you know, three, parliamentary terms and so on and so forth, or more. They don't shout. Occasionally they do, and of course when you interrupt them, they get annoyed, whatever. But in the main, they know the stuff, they come up with facts and figures and statistics and good policy arguments. And I fully support this movement of young members of society to group together. It's not good enough merely to have NGOs, no?
Yeah, absolutely.
You need a political platform.
Well, on those occasions, Tan Sri, when we've got people as frank and honest and insightful as you, it's always a highly enriching and rewarding experience to have a discussion of this nature. So thank you for your thoughts. Thank you for your time. And good luck with your future endeavours. Who knows what else the future might bring for you.
Thank you for the invitation. I'm glad to be here. Yeah.
We were talking to Tan Sri Dato' Mahmat Arif Mahmat Yusof, the former Dewan Rakyat Speaker and a person who was ousted from his role by the PN government earlier in July. BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.